Well, brothers and sisters, a few weeks ago, we looked at something of the Christian's experience, and much of that was from a very personal perspective. But through this period of COVID, I have become very concerned, and I expect many of you have as well, and perhaps confused with how we as Christians should live in this fallen world and interact with authority. Authority at home, work, and in society. How do we today as Christians live in this fallen world? Christians today, and especially the young, seem so resistant to authority. I'm generalizing here, but from where I've seen things, there seems to be little regard for the police or for politicians alike, or even for parents or those in authority in the church or at school. Well, I'm not going to cover in this message the Christian's relationship to authority in the home or at work, as that's covered extensively in other passages. But I want to focus on our relationship to the authorities or the state, those that are set over us in society. There's you probably following the news, and recently there have been two very prominent incidents that have happened in the news, one in Canada, and a minister became very, very aggressive to the authorities, the police that were coming on into his church, and it just about fell short of swearing, but he called them Nazis and became very angry with them. And in contrast to that, there was an incident in North London where an elderly preacher who was standing on a pair of steps was approached by the authorities, and he very gently and meekly asked them what the problem was, and responded very quietly, and he was arrested in North London. Two incredibly different approaches to the authorities. Now, I'm not going to comment on that particularly, but just to raise the fact that there are very different ways people are dealing with the authorities at this time. Well, we read in Romans 12 some very practical guidance on how we should live with each other and treat one another in humility and love and be peaceable with each other. But then in Chapter 13, Paul moves to our relationship to the world around us. And especially at the beginning of this chapter, to those in authority about paying our taxes, etc. But covers a lot in that chapter. So I want to really look at our relationship with the authorities tonight and how we as Christians should relate to them under three headings. And they might sound a bit strange. They've all got the letter A to help us remember. The first one is authority. The second is action or activity or activism, might be another word for it. And the third is ambition. So we're going to look firstly at authority. So we're going to begin looking at our attitude and relationship with the authority in the state. Now, please do remember, and I know my brothers and sisters in Mount Zion will know I have many failings, and I'm speaking to myself here tonight as much as anybody else. I'm just trying to bring the scriptures, but very much speaking to my own heart here, because I'm guilty of speaking down to those in high office or opposition. We have probably different parties that we support, and members of parliament, and I know at times I've spoken very disrespectfully of those that I might not agree with. But tonight let's look at the scriptures and how we should be relating to those in authority. Firstly, keep in mind the state that was in power when Paul was writing this. It's generally agreed that this book was written around about 58 AD. And that was just 5 years after Emperor Claudius had decreed the Jews were banished from Rome. And it's very likely, many of the commentators say it is, it's very likely that the Christians were lumped in with the Jews and faced great persecution. And we know that they did face tremendous persecution at this time. But it's against this backdrop and the anti-Christian society Paul lived in that Paul gives the new believers these instructions. So keep that in mind. Paul is talking to people who are suffering for being Christians and suffering under the state, by the state, at the hands of the state. But in Romans 13, Paul points to the higher authority who has placed these people in places of government. Paul is calling us to take great care when dealing with those in authority over us. They're not just there because they've climbed over the backs of many others and forced their way forward. And although on a human level, many of them probably have done that, many politicians, those that reach high power, often have climbed over the backs of other people. But God has put them there. It's important to remember that these people are in power, in position of authority under God. God is on the throne. He has allowed and placed these people in their positions of authority. Our understanding has to be that they're God's civil representatives in this present world. Their principal role given by God is to judge rightly, maintain law and order. You might want to turn just for a quick reading in Job 34. And we're just going to read some of what Elihu says in Job 34. If you remember, Elihu was the young man who came after Job's three hell friends had spoken to him. And Elihu brings some very godly advice. And so Job 34 verse 17. Should one who hates justice govern? Will you condemn him who is most just? Is it fitting to say to a king, you are worthless, and to nobles, you are wicked? Yet he is not partial to princes, nor does he regard the rich more than the poor. For they are all the work of his hands. In a moment they die, in the middle of the night, the people are shaken and pass away. The mighty are taken away without a hand. And Elihu's actually given Job some very good advice here. He's saying that in God's eyes, we are all equal. Very clearly, we're all equal. He doesn't look on those who are in positions of authority as any more important than the person who's sweeping the street outside. In God's eyes, we're all equal. God has put each person in their stage of life. But we as human beings are not all equal. God has given authority and power to some and not others. And we need to regard people for their position's sake, to acknowledge their position. But not to speak wrongly of those in authority with due respect. I speak to myself, as I mentioned before, whatever our political leaning and direction, I need to respect the authorities. I need to have a regard for those who are in authority as God's ministers. We were just recently reminded of how David showed Saul great respect because of his God-given authority. Saul, who was out to kill him. Saul, who was his enemy. David bowed down to him because of the God-given authority that Saul had. Does this mean we blindly follow? No. I'm sure in Rome, when there was that persecution amongst the Christians, Christians didn't turn each other over to the Roman authorities. And in the Second World War, you know very well that many Christians protected and hid Jews from the civil authorities, from the Germans. That wasn't wrong. That was the right thing to do because the authorities were acting against God's will. And We care for those who are put into our charge. But the principle Paul gives is generally we should be good citizens. Provided we are law-abiding, we shouldn't have anything to fear. Back in Romans 13, verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. In Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, firstly, to pray for them and even give thanks for them. And we will lead peaceful and quiet lives. And then we will lead peaceful and quiet lives. Yes, give thanks. Paul could give thanks for the Roman authorities. Surely we can thank God for those over us. So that's point number one, authority. We're going to look at now action. What do I mean by this? What about our action as believers towards the authorities? How should we respond to godless decisions and directions in the state, which we face massively, don't we, in the UK at the moment? What should we be doing? Well, the backdrop to these questions is I've seen a growing activism amongst Christians, especially the young, as I've mentioned before, younger generations, Christians actively involved in marches, whether it be pro this or pro that. Just thinking about Brexit, they were pro and anti-Brexit. BLM, Black Lives Matter, and people with very strong views on that. Saving the planet. I was talking with Eric on Sunday about Extinction Rebellion. Pro-life or pro-choice. I'm not going to go into what's right or wrong there, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not going to make comment on the validity of these protests, and some of them very, very important. But I want to look to scripture. What is our activity as Christians? What is our activism as Christians? What does the word of God have to say about our activity as believers? Well, I would highly recommend you read through 1 and 2 Timothy. Really helpful. I read through them before this message, and Paul is writing to Timothy. And the instruction is so helpful, and it's as though he's written for us today, directly into our situation. So action. Let's firstly look at 1 Timothy 2, 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. So Paul is saying, as I mentioned earlier, to pray for them. He's saying to Timothy, pray for those who are in authority, for kings, all those in positions of authority, and give thanks for them. Well, thank God for our rulers, yes. And they're given by God. And remember, far worse rulers have ruled in history. Paul was saying, give thanks for the Roman authorities, who are the most cruel and godless of people. So we need to pray for them. We need to give thanks for them. We need to have a respect and a care for them. That's the first thing. Pray for them. Secondly, avoid getting tangled up in the passing issues of the world. So 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, and then we'll skip over to some other verses. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And then turn over to verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. So Paul saying to Timothy, try and avoid getting caught up in worthless distractions, worthless babblings, he said. He calls them babblings, which is interesting because that's what they said about the Tower of Babel when the language is muddled up. These are babblers. So we need to be careful that we're not getting distracted. And Paul says, be grounded in God's word. Verse 15, be diligent, present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So don't get caught up in worthless babblings, worthless discussions and arguments, which really have no benefit, but be grounded in the word, teach the word, bring your instruction from God's word. So that's point two. Number three, so we're still under action. And the third point here is avoid those who will turn you away from the ministry. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. So Paul is saying in the last times, people will be turned away. They'll become godless. They'll become unthankful. They'll become unloving. They'll be traitorous. They'll be headstrong, haughty. And he says to Timothy, Timothy, turn away. Turn away from them. They're a distraction. They are traitors. They are turning against the authorities, and you need to turn away from them. Take your attention away from them. 2 Peter 2 says this, 2 Peter 2 verse 10. Especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. So Paul is saying to Timothy, look, turn away from these people who don't have any regard for authority. They're traitorous and they're self-willed and they don't have any self-control. So what is the great action we should be involved in? We've looked at what we shouldn't do and who we should turn away from. Well, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 5. And it tells us very clearly what we should be involved in. What should be our mission? What should be our activity? What should be our actions in a world like today? So verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So this is what we're called to. Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Well, those of us who are not called to the pulpit or to teach, live the word. Live it out in your life. Actively show that you're a Christian in your life. Tell others about the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says when he went to heaven in Matthew 28, just before he went up into heaven, he gave the disciples some instructions, and that instruction passes down to us. So Matthew 28 verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is a command from the Lord Jesus Christ to us, a distinct, definite command. Mark 16, Gospel of Mark, verse 16, very well-known verse. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our mission. That's our commission. That's what we've been called to do. So what do we do about these issues that are arising? What action should we be taking? Well, some people are called to a life of influence, aren't they? If you think in history, Lord Shaftesbury, Wilberforce, William Wilberforce, in the current world where there are Christian politicians and there's personalities. I think of Dan Walker, who works for the BBC. You know, we should be actively praying for them. We need to thank the Lord for Christians in these positions, and we need to be praying for them. And where we are called to maybe raise concerns, we can do that. We can add our name to a list, can't we? We can sign a petition. We can be involved in that way and even have an influence on the direction of law. And that's right. But you know, there's even something more important we can do. As our nation becomes more and more godless and rules and laws are damaging people, especially our young people being influenced by such evil laws. These young people and adults are being damaged and twisted and being chewed up by the state and being told you can do this and you can't do that. And they're all at sea. They're in a quandary. Well, we can help them. We can pray with them. We can instruct them from the word. We can teach them what the word of God says. But beware of being sidetracked from our core ministry. When we get involved in these things, let's remember our core ministry is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is action. We've looked at authority, our relationship to authority, our action, how we react and we act as believers. Well, lastly, ambition. What is our Christian ambition in this world and for this world? What do we want to see happen in this world? Well, I think the Lord Jesus gives us very, very helpful guide and steer in this. When he teaches his disciples in Matthew 6, he teaches his disciples what to pray for. Matthew 6, verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're to pray for God's kingdom to come and for his will to be done. This is a real cry of true submission for the Christian to God's authority over our lives, not what we want. Not what we think is right and needs to happen, but your will, Lord. I bring my life into submission to your will. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. So our ambition in this world is to see the world being run and its peoples living in a way that honors God. your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We want this world to be running and honoring the God that made it. But brothers and sisters, you know, this will not happen by us having better laws or by having a better distribution or wealth or other things in society which help individuals. Obviously, our laws in this land, we've been very blessed with Bible-based laws for many, many years, and that has been a great help to us. But that won't transform our society. Those laws came out of a transformed society. And the only way the society can change is by the transformation of men and women's hearts. That's the only way our world will change, is when people change. So just a quick reading here from the 1904 revival in Wales. Just a few comments that somebody's written about the revival in Wales in 1904. Thousands of people were saved. Public houses became empty. Men and women who used to waste their money getting drunk were now saving it and giving it to the church, and they used their money to buy clothes and food for their families. Stealing and other offences became less and less prevalent. Often a magistrate would come to court and found there was no cases for him to try. Men who blasphemed learned to talk purely. The miners put in a better day's work, but the pit ponies couldn't understand what had happened to the miners as they spoke to them more kindly. They were so used to them being sworn at that they became disobedient, so the ponies didn't respond because the workers had become kindly and pure in their speech. People who had been careless about paying their bills or paying back money they had borrowed gave back all they owed. People who quarrelled forgave each other and were reconciled. Society was changed. And Wales became a God-fearing nation. It had a massive impact in Wales, that revival. Well, that's how our society can change. So what is our ambition? Do we want a greater Britain in the world's eyes? Do we want people to have a respect and regard for our flag? Do we want to save the planet, maybe? Do we want equality and prosperity for all? These aren't bad things, but we need to be aiming higher than these things. We need to pray and have a heart for God's kingdom on earth. A transformation from the inside out, not from the outside in. Whitewashed sepulchres. That was what the Pharisees were. They were good on the outside, but inside were dead men's bones. We want people to be changed from the inside, and that's what will change our society. Well, I hope these thoughts have been helpful tonight and maybe given you a spark to think about these subjects and do a bit of study for yourself. And I'd suggest once again, read through 1 and 2 Timothy, a really good place to start and really get to grips with. And perhaps we can chat about this on a Sunday. So we've looked at the Christian and our attitude and relationship to the authority of the state, how we're to respect it, how we're to acknowledge that this is God's institution. These are God's representatives. As David bowed down to Saul, so we should in our hearts bow down to those that God have put in authority and have a respect and regard for them. We've looked at what action we should be involved in, not generally activism, but gospel ministry. That's what we're called to. That's the commission we have. And finally, we've looked at what our ambition should be in this world. And that's to see God's kingdom come, to see his will established on earth, to see this land that we live in turned upside down, and people to love God's word, people to love the Creator God. And for that transformation of hearts. Well, I hope that's been a help to you.